Welcome back to the Evolution Pod Club. I am your host, Jackie Seiden. Death. We're talking about death. Death is not something to fear. Death is simply a shedding of all fear, all resistance, and a return to who you truly are, source energy. If there was anything to fear, it would have been to join physical reality, but in the non-physical, you can't feel fear. So you're just excited to jump on into a new body and play around. Death as you know it is a byproduct of living as you know it. Living is something you call your journey in physical reality. There is not only no death, but there is also no living. You are a being. You exist. You are eternal. You cannot disappear. You cannot go away. You are love energy that flows through everything. So right now you perceive you are living and others are living all around you and you're all having a grand old time making each other totally miserable. But then you return back to who you truly are in the non-physical, and that is home. This is the dream. You are dreaming. You say when someone dies, that person goes to sleep, but really they're waking up. Your inner selves are all awake. They're inside you. They're feeding you inspired ideas, emotions, loving you, guiding you, but you are not alive. You just are. So when someone dies, they still are too, but you can't perceive them through your limited five senses. You can no longer see, touch, smell, taste, or hear that person. So you perceive that person to be gone. And in order to connect to them, you need to use your other innate senses, your non-physical senses, your feelings, your intuition, your gut, because all your loved ones are all right here with you. They are connected to you. And the ones that have transitioned, they have returned to the full expressions of themselves and they know who they are. They are love and they know who you are. You are love. So they're loving you all the time without their limited perspectives. You are not alive. You do not die and neither do they. They are all here just as you are. But in order for you to perceive death, you need to stop feeling, seeing, touching that person. So source just makes them disappear from your physical senses. And if you want to feel that connection again, because that's really what we're mourning, use your other senses, hone those, tap into those, and you can connect with your loved ones in a more fuller, richer way than you ever did here in this lifetime, because they are without resistance, just beaming love onto you. Now, you may have an attachment to the relationship as you know it now. How do you make peace with the fact that the dynamics that you explored in this life are no longer? Well, we understand that you perceive your loved ones as who they show themselves to be right now or who they've shown themselves to be in the past, but that is not who they truly are. You do not know who they truly are. And if you did, you would love them more than you could possibly imagine. You know the essence of that person, but only a minuscule fraction. So imagine that you meet the person in the non-physical and you can see them for all the magical qualities they have, not just the ones you can sense in physical reality. And imagine that they can see you in all of your authentic love glory. And now that you can see each other fully, imagine that bond, that relationship. Believe us when we tell you this connection is more profound than anything you can imagine or have experienced in this physical reality. You will love this person so profoundly in the non-physical, you will not lament the roles you played in this lifetime. I mean, there's a lot to unpack when talking about death, and we're going to get into it. Me, Jackie, my fear of death is what started my journey of self-discovery. I was 4 and I was having panic attacks after my grandmother passed away. I was obsessed with death and my fear became a part of my identity at that point. And when I was in middle school, my brother gave me the book, Many Lives, Many Masters, which changed my life. It started to open my mind. And when I would tell people about it and they'd be skeptical, I'd just say, it helps me to believe this. So I choose to believe it. I didn't know at the time that was me exercising my free will to choose what I believe. And here we are decades later. And thanks to today's guest, I'm now learning how the system works. And you've heard the old adage that you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, okay. This man has brought me to the water. He's taught me how to drink, then showed me how to create a body of fresh water so that I could drink anytime and invite all my friends to drink and learn how to create their own water. Gary Bodley, through the teachings of Joshua, has shared the key so that I may unlock the forces of the universe by accessing my inner voice all day, every day. And if it weren't for him, I would not be here talking to you today. That is a fact. So please welcome my mentor and my friend, Gary Temple Bodley.
Hi there.
Hi.
You've brought all of us, Gary. You've brought all of everyone here. You have brought to the these teachings as well. So
awesome. That's great. I never imagined this would happen 8 years ago when it all started. So it's cool. But because I've been doing this now for 8 years, and before that was Abraham, and before that was The Secret. So maybe 14 years or something. But what you just said, Jackie, there is that death is the shedding of fear. And so that's wonderful, right? So once fear is gone, all that's left is love. So really our life is shedding fear while we're alive. And when we start to do that, that's when everything opens up.
Right.
And we don't really realize how much fear we're in. And the fear is just brought on by our belief system. So we have some empowering beliefs and some limiting beliefs. And a big limiting belief is that death is loss. There is no such thing as death. There's also no such thing as loss. And there's no such thing as rejection. So the three main fears that everyone has. So I think that almost all our fears go into those three categories, death, loss, and death really is the fear of the unknown. So right. Unknown, rejection, and loss. Well, because this is a attractive reality, you're always attracting to you and creating at the same time. You can't lose anything because what's in your reality now is what you need now. And if it's not in your reality, you don't need it to do what you're here to do or what you're exploring. Rejection's not possible because no one knows who you are. They see you through their perception of reality, which is shaped by their belief system. And you have no control over that belief system. So in Joshua's first book, Joshua is saying, imagine that you were destined. I don't think they said it that way, but like you were going to find the love of your life, but the love of your life has red hair. And your whole life, you've been bullied by red-haired people, or you have some kind of thing against red-haired people. And so that's your limiting belief. Red-haired people aren't whatever. And so in order for you to raise your vibration or change your belief system so that you're a match to this love of your life who happens to have red hair, the universe is going to set you up in these things called manifestation events to show you that there's nothing to fear in red-haired people. If you understand what's happening in that event and you can realize it's just coming to you because you have a limiting belief, then you have the opportunity to address that belief and prove that it's not true because all limiting beliefs are false. And so all of our life really is adopting these limiting beliefs that cause our fears and then realize that the fears are only being activated by those limiting beliefs. So if we can change those limiting beliefs to less limiting, then the fears fade away.
And so what's so great about this work and everyone here and everyone listening to this podcast is that you don't have to wait to die in order to feel the relief of shedding of the resistance and fear. We're doing this work while we're living. And that's a new exploration, not new, but maybe we're taking it to a new level now as we've all raised our vibrations and each generation does. And how cool is that?
Yeah.
Because we perceive that when somebody passes away, that it's sad, but that's really a cause for celebration. They're returning back to feeling no pain, no resistance, no stress, anxiety, and just remembering who they are and coming forth to be who they truly are. And that is something, honestly, that we could celebrate if we ever in a different culture, perhaps. Our culture doesn't really do that. Our culture is like, oh yeah, wait till that guy gets it, you know, like as if dying is a bad thing. And really it's the greatest thing we'll ever experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the death penalty is actually a really good thing.
Yeah. It's like you're but it's a crazy shift on how we've been programmed to view what has always been taught to us to be the end. And really it's not the end. It's not the beginning. It will almost feel like a beginning to us because we have forgotten what it feels like to be without fear and without resistance. So it may in a sense feel like a rebirth in that way to us where we wake up. My grandmother is 103. She's turning 104 this month. And I went to visit her And that's where this came from. I was having these thoughts and I actually wrote them down. So anyone listening, you could tell I had written them down, which I don't always do, but I thought it was for today. And then I went to see her and I realized in the car that this was for her and, or for both. Right. And, I just didn't know if I'd have the courage to have this conversation with her face to face.
Yeah.
So I had to do it as Gary's talking about when you are in alignment, which I knew this was, the inspiration came to talk to my grandmother. I knew that was inspired. The fear came up. Oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? How am I going to tell a woman that who knows she's going to die soon? And she's, I know she's scared. I had a dream about her where she hugged me and said she was scared. And I was like, I got to do it. Cause this is the accountability that we've been talking about week after week of acting on inspiration. And I saw her and I thought, it's not going to happen. She's good. We're telling jokes. Like, I'm not going to get maudlin on her. And there was a moment that presented itself. My mom was present. And I just said, can I talk about death? And my mom said, yes. And I started to just tell her what I was just told you. And this is a woman who is over 100. She is not someone who is open to any of these ideas. Talk about calling me woo-woo, right? I'm a weirdo LA woo-woo. She loves me. Doesn't matter. But I saw her. I saw her take it in. I saw her. She started asking questions. She started saying, okay, so is this is the dream? You know, just so like a child almost. Mm. And it was really powerful. And I could see just even in a moment, and even if it was just a moment, even though no attachment to the results, she may have just said, Jackie, you're crazy, go away. It doesn't matter. I just knew I was inspired to say it, whatever happened. And I knew that even if she didn't hear it, her higher self would hear it. Someone in her guides would hear it and somehow feed it to her, however she was supposed to get it. And I saw her sort of get peaceful right in front of me. It was something.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you are in alignment, which means you're perceiving your reality as it is true and feeling good and receiving positive emotion. Then you receive inspiration. Then a fear will always pop up every single time. Doesn't matter what the inspiration is, but you know that if you push past that fear, everything you want is on the other side of that fear. And so you go ahead but while you were talking, like the fear was only there before you started talking, but once you
made that's right.
talk, it went away. And that conversation was then, you know, exciting to have and fun to have and interesting. And then you could see the benefit of it, but you couldn't really see the benefit before. You had no idea really what the outcome was going to be. And then, but the whole system, your mom happened to be there. The time of the conversation happened to come up. You know, you were in a place where you could see your grandmother. You know?
Now, if I could have controlled it, I would have actually had my mom not there.
Right.
And I knew her being there was divine perfection. So I knew not to do anything about it. And like you said, push past the fear. And you're right. And you've talked about this. When you do act on that inspiration, once you get that ball in motion of acting on the inspiration, you'll notice the ego voice, the chatter, the self-talk, the negative talk starts to fall away.
Yeah.
Cause it's just trying to stop you from acting on the inspiration. And once you're acting on the inspiration, it can just stop talking.
Well, it's just like before you go on to set and start acting, you have that trepidation, that fear, but once you get going, you're fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know there've been questions and people are going through various life experiences right now. So anything you want to share, jump on in.
Okay, so I assume that we can talk about all this that's been going on with me. And actually, I've been so excited to tell you, for however bizarre that sounds. But my dad passed away last Thursday, and it was very unexpected. And he was incredibly healthy and very, very active and had no illness whatsoever. And if I had a quarter for everybody who said to me, I cannot believe this, I'd be moving away. So it was 1 week of just, you know, he had a massive stroke, he was in the hospital, and you know, at some point we had to make the choice, you know, to, because he just was not going to recover, to pull him off all of the machines. And then we had to wait out those last days, which were grueling. However, through all of that, I cannot explain to you how much gratitude I felt, how much peace I felt. It was the most bizarre thing. I think it was because we all knew where he was headed. He'd lived a great life. There was no question about the next phase and it being a better place and a better phase. It was, yes, very shocking, but I cannot tell you just the peace that washed over me in the whole process. I mean, even watching my mom and just the emotion that she went through, I don't think there was one time that I ever felt like this is unfair. I reflected on all that I've learned just in this short period of time with you guys. And I knew in that moment that I had created this for myself, which is really crazy for me to grasp, because these are all, you know, you guys, there's one common denominator that brought us all together, you know, for me. And just even the way that I met Jordan and the way, you know, it's one thing after another. When I reflect on the last year of my life and all the gifts that have come to the table for me that prepared me for that moment, it's overwhelming to me. And it makes me feel like I can't even believe that I would receive all of those wonderful gifts, you know, just so that this process could be easier. And so all these other things could be easier. I mean, I even think about the things that my dad had talked to us about in the last year. And, you know, when we were in the position to where we had to make choices, it was easy to make those choices. It might've been hard to say them out loud, but it was easy. He had told us exactly what he wanted in those situations, which was such a gift. There's so many things. Step by step through this process, I hated watching his body suffer, but I knew that every piece of that suffering was to prepare me or to prepare my mom or to position me to where I had something different, to a more positive outcome. I knew that there was one day that my mom said to me, she was like, how are you doing this? And I kind of started in telling her, you know, a little bit about this. And I just said, mom, you know, we had a really kind of a rough nurse that day. And she's like, how are you handling this? And I said, mom, just give love, you know, just fill them with love. Every time, you know, that guy walks in the room, you just pour love all over him. You know, when you see him, don't see those negative things, you know, don't perceive him, because we're in a funk and we haven't slept and, you know, we're experiencing this horrible tragedy, you know, just see them from a perspective of love. And it absolutely 100% reframed my entire perspective of this entire process. I can't imagine having gone through it without having these tools. I mean, I would not be able to sit here and tell you guys this, you know, less than a week after I had experienced this, but I can't, it's really weird to say that even down to the text messages. I start getting text messages from people going, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're going through this. I'm so sorry. And my initial response, it was kind of when we talked about like the birthday, you know, when people wish you a happy birthday and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I feel so bad. All these people, you know.
Yeah, the unworthiness, right.
Yeah, this guilty, yeah, unworthiness kind of thing. And I caught myself thinking, oh my gosh, I'm getting all these messages. I mean, oh my gosh, these people don't have to fuss over me like this. You know, this is silly. I don't deserve all this. And I told myself, don't even let those thoughts come in your mind. You stop and you take this because these are the things that you need. It gave me so much strength. It was unbelievable. Wow. I mean, I am from a small town that's like an hour and a half north of where I live. I had people from Oklahoma City that, you know, came from here to drive there. And my initial reaction was, holy cow, they just took effectively 4 hours out of their day for me.
Right.
And they didn't even know my dad, but they went to support me. And at first I was like, I'm having a hard time even accepting that. I mean, I just left and I just felt such overwhelming gratitude. I mean, in every step of this process. So I know there's a lot that I have to work through, and I had a lot of other, you know, triggering things that occurred through that, and just working with my brother, whom I love dearly, which means that I also have an equal and opposite reaction to him because I do love and care about him. So he triggered the heck out of me. So when I get a clear head, I'm going to fill out that form.
Yeah.
But
you were an example of alignment. I mean, your mom got to witness the change, and there's no, you know, people always ask, I get frustrated because I want to tell people in my life or about this work and I see them, but the best thing to do is just think about yourself, make feeling good a priority. And just by example, being in the presence of you, when you're in alignment, when something so chaotic is happening, is more impactful than you sending a book or a podcast or anything. And your mom is watching you and saying, how are you doing this? And yeah. Then that's the moment where, as my husband likes to say, he saw the proof before the pudding. So she's like, where's the pudding? I'm actually curious about the pudding.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, on the days when we had this one nurse guy, he was kind of abrasive, and I'm like, here we are, we're in ICU. We're going through this time. My mom and I had stepped out. We'd had this brief conversation. I went back in, and, you know, my mom was trying really hard to give this guy as much love as she could give him in this situation. And I was just trying to lay it on thick just to more show her as an example, you know. And I'll be darned, like within an hour, this guy's tune completely changed. He became our greatest advocate. He was our helper. You know, it shifts not only your own perspective, but the perspective of everyone around you. We heard the nurses, my mom was asleep in the corner one evening, and people didn't realize she was in the room. And all these nurses were like, oh my goodness, did you see that family? You know, they are so kind. Those two women are like the nicest women. Oh. They're just so awesome. We just want to do everything we can to help. You know, so it was like, you know, we were seeing this pay off right in front of our faces. It was like the whole thing, you know, the gift of everything was right there. I mean, I'm sure we didn't do it all perfect, but we had an opportunity to practice, and it was a really big one. Oh, hold on. We did do it all perfect. Sorry.
Thank you.
Perfect. You know, and I told my mom over and over again, I said, I don't know why this has happened. It's not for us to question, but it's happening in the perfect time. And we just kept saying that over and over and over. And the next thing we know, this, you know, someone sent us a song, and the song was all about it, you know, the being in the perfect time. And my mom was just like, what is the deal with this perfect timing thing? You know? So it was, I felt like I had a lot of validation through the process, which I needed, through that process. But, and even after the fact, I mean,
and remember, Heidi, you grappled so much with perfect. That term specifically for you has been really hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's hard. I mean, before, I remember having a conversation with Jordan, and I said, you know, can anything really ever be perfect? I feel like it could always be better. Right. But now I get it. I mean, I'm understanding it as you work through it.
See, this is what I was talking about when I said, Gary, I know you did this, but Gary, I do feel like brought the horse to water, taught the horse to drink, taught us how to make water, taught us how to feed ourselves, bring our friends. I mean, the ripple effect, you like that ripple effect, talking about water, the ripple effect of this, that those nurses in that hospital are impacted by this work. And then they go home and impact their families. It's incredible gift that you're not only giving yourself, but it does affect truly the masses, the mass consciousness. You inspire thoughts of other people in the hospital to be kinder and have more love to the nurses or more empathy, whatever it is. It's big. This work is big. It's not, it is for you. You are connected to all that is. A lot of us feel like, well, it's just me. It's just me and my own experience, but it's not just you. It's the big you, the big us, the big we.
Right. And I also want to say this. There were weeks that we did the podcast where I didn't say a word, and I just felt like I was there to hear something. I would say that, you know, not only I feel that you're a conduit, Gary's a conduit, and have given these gifts, but I mean, Natasha's asked questions or made comments, or Jordan said things, or Candace said things, and all of those things have given me gifts. I mean, it's not just even from one person. It's everything that everyone says is definitely something that is inspired, that is meant to be said, because everybody's
and you as well.
Yeah. And I've used those things. I mean, I was sitting there at one point and I was thinking, I can't believe I'm getting to use all these tools. It's all playing out and it makes sense. I mean, it not just makes sense, but I can feel the gift of it on the other side. We talked about, you know, when you operate at a higher vibration, you receive all these gifts. I can tell you there is a gift there. Anyway, it was just an unbelievable experience. I mean, there are definitely things, especially working with my brother, where I'm, you know, love him, but man, he is a trigger.
Good. You know, he's your activator.
Absolutely. And I found myself being triggered by trying to be protective over my mom. And I had to step back and go, hold on just a second. She's an individual. He's an individual. It's my responsibility just to take care of me. Even stepping back and just thinking, you know, I'm the one that I'm supposed to focus on. I'm not supposed to focus on, you know, those two and their issues. It's for them.
Well, you didn't give in to the fear, right? You didn't. It made you feel a negative emotion, which is a signal that you are no longer in agreement with your higher self, that you are in fear. And anything you do after that is just an urge to control the condition. And just by letting them work it out, you not acting on that urge to control the condition, just that alone is raising your vibration, is adding love to the reality, and is actually the path of least resistance for them. You getting into the fear with them would just draw it out, make the event bigger and last longer, and make it a bigger manifestation event, which it wasn't for you. It may have been tiny, minor, just the thought, right? But then you caught it at the thought stage.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and as a matter of fact, when I stepped back and I didn't do anything about it, it ended up playing out exactly as it should. It was a positive result anyway. So I just thought, I'm so glad I didn't step in and say something, because then it would have been a big explosion and right. Nobody needed that. So yeah, I see it.
Between stimulus and response. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Exactly. I have holes in my tongue from biting it, but
So imagine that what we're doing is changing our structure of beliefs from fear to love, or from control to acceptance. And so we come in and we are taught that nothing is perfect, and especially we aren't perfect. So imagine if the truth, though, really is that everything is perfect and we are perfect. So what we're doing is we're looking at everything from this limited perspective of this illusion of imperfection, not realizing that everything in the moment, because that's all that exists, is perfect. Everything in the past was always perfect as well, but you were in duality and you judged it as right or wrong, good or bad. But if everything that happened in the past happened perfectly to lead you where you are right now, then you have to think about the future. Well, we all worry about the future. We just had this thing in the Ascension experience where you were writing down what you worried about the future. And we have to say to that worry, it's just fear of some unwanted condition manifesting. But what if that condition was necessary and purposeful, and actually we truly wanted it to manifest, the thing we are most afraid of? Well, if we can look at everything like that, if I'm worried about it and it comes, it has to be for my benefit. It cannot be otherwise. I can't always see this for my benefit, but I know that it has to be for my benefit. So then, if I'm worried about this thing happening, if it happens, it's for me. And if it's not for me, it's not going to happen. So if it happens, I welcome it. So everything I fear about in the future now, I say, bring it on. Because I know for sure that I'm always have everything I need to handle whatever obstacles in front of me at the time. And my free will is my choice of how I choose to perceive what is happening. So I can always look at it from the victim point of view or from the more empowering point of view of the creator of this event. And that's all we're doing here. But this huge illusion is everything is imperfect, when the fact is, and no one wants to talk about this, everything is perfect. And so everyone would say, what do you mean everything's perfect? This and that and the other thing. and say, well, just take your life. Don't go off into the, you know, into the world. Just take your life in this moment. We all have enough air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat. We have roof over our heads. We have access to communication. We have all these wonderful things available to us in this moment to do what we're doing. And what we're doing is having a conversation. We don't need anything else, right? And if you can bring it all down to the moment, all the fear is gone. There is no fear in the moment, right? Because it is happening now.
I have a question about, I've been wanting to ask this for a while, about the way with which people leave. And I know that, Gary, you've talked about this. Joshua has talked about this before. But when it's an irreconcilable death, when it's a death that is violent and or continues, it drags on, you know, just the way with which we choose to leave.
Yes. So my mother was living in Johannesburg. She moved back to Johannesburg. That's where I was born. And all her friends and family from childhood are there. So she moves back to Johannesburg and she's going to take a trip to Cape Town for the weekend. While she's taking a shower, she has a stroke. And one of the guys who works in the building found her, put her in bed, but was afraid to tell anyone of her because she was naked, right? And he, you know, he's a black guy in South Africa. You can't do that, right? So she is there all weekend with this stroke and she never arrives in Cape Town. So her friend calls around and they find her Monday morning, take her to the hospital, and now she's paralyzed on the left side. And so this starts in 8 years till her eventual death. And in that time, I went and saw her, my brother went and saw her many times. And she had happened to have three women who occasionally worked for her, who are now living with her. They're taking 3 8-hour shifts every day, 7 days a week. And they're sleeping on the couch. She's in her bedroom. They're washing her and feeding her, putting her in her wheelchair, taking care of her. And this becomes her family that she never had her whole life. Because when she was a small child, she was sent off to boarding school. She was from a wealthy South African family. And she never was taken care of her whole life. Always in a dorm with other girls living in the school. In fact, she was... in 16 years old, she was in London at a boarding school and her father had died and she didn't know until she arrived back the year later. She was never told about it, you know. So this solved the missing thing she was longing for her whole life. And she got to experience this true family with these people. So some people's death has to take a period of time because they have to have time to say goodbye because they know the ones that they're leaving aren't going to be able to deal with it. And the more distressful and painful the illness is, the easier it is for those people to allow the death to happen, right? For the family and friends to allow the death to happen because they say, well, at least he's not suffering anymore, right? Then there's people who die suddenly because somehow they realize that their family members are equipped. They have what they need. And everything's in place. They don't have to. And it's always for a reason. So the death is as perfect as everything else in life. And the way we're all going to die will be perfect for us.
Can I expound on Jordan's question a little bit in terms of the way in which we die? What about deaths that have a lot of fear surrounding the moment or the circumstances? A murder, for example, we're all obsessed with murder. Something very terrifying. And that may just be between you and that individual. How does one process that and what is that?
Okay, so it's like being eaten by a lion then.
Sure.
Right? Okay, so how long is that really lasting? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And don't we go into shock right away? And don't
hopefully
people feel no pain? You know, people get bit by sharks don't feel any pain. They feel like they're being, people who get dragged under by alligators don't feel any pain. Mm-hmm. It's something weird. You only feel pain later. So all the pain mm-hmm. is taken away. And then I've been watching a lot of near-death experience things on TED Talks and on YouTube. There's some really great shows on that. If you ever want to get over your fear of death, just watch all the near-death experiences on TED Talks. It's amazing.
Oh, cool.
They're so similar. And there's, you know, it's some people are taken before, right before they die. So they're out of the body before an explosion or whatever, or a car accident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you have to know that the death process, and plus, you know, if you're in a prolonged illness, you'll have guides that come that you'll be able to see. And you might hear people saying that they saw their grandmother or Jesus at the foot of their bed comforting them. You know, they're able to, because of where their mental state is, they're able to perceive things we can't perceive. They sort of blend into the non-physical at that time. Now, we can all do it if we start meditating. We can connect to anyone who's passed on, and it's very easy to do. You quiet your mind and meditate, and then I can connect with my mom at any time, with anyone else who's transitioned. And of course, you might feel like you're making this up, but who you're talking to is the version of them without fear. And so that conversation is, you know, is really full of love.
Hmm. That's the non-physical senses we're talking about. You can connect exactly with someone who's passed at any time. They're always beaming love on you without any sort of resistance of any kind. So that's just pure love. So you can actually connect in a deeper, fuller way.
Speaking more about our non-physical senses, as that Joshua Live was yesterday. So if you can quiet your mind, you can really activate these non-physical senses, which are emotion. So we feel our emotions, and I'm sure all of us here on the call and people listening to this podcast are more highly emotionally sensitive than average people. Otherwise, we wouldn't be connecting at this level. So we feel things more than other people do. That happens to be a superpower, and you want to feel emotions even deeper than you are. Now, we're all afraid of emotions because, you know, negative emotions feel bad, but we are absolutely in control of that emotion. And all that emotion is doing is telling us that we're buying into the illusion, that we're not looking at this from the higher perspective, that we're playing the victim role. And with just a little bit of practice, you can get to where with anything happens whatsoever, you can know if you're perceiving it as the illusion that it's bad or wrong, or if you can go into the higher perspective and see it as right. Once you go into the higher perspective, or once you've processed that limiting belief, you will feel better instantly. And this is how you know that all the emotion, negative emotions is showing you is that you're not looking at it from the truth. You're perceiving it from the illusion. So if there's an illusion of imperfection, then there's an illusion of death, because we don't know what death is. So we have this limiting belief around death. If we can fill in that limiting belief by adding information to it, such as watching all these near-death experiences that cannot be denied and that have actually been researched and are so similar across all cultures, it's amazing. Also, we can increase our intuition. And as you get more in alignment, that intuition power really comes on. And then, of course, when you're in alignment, you get inspiration. If you can start acting on more inspiration, then more inspiration comes. And what other non-physical senses are there?
That's actually was my question to you. It was emotions, intuition.
Intuition, inspiration. Oh, and direct guidance. That's probably the most powerful thing. So now you started channeling or automatic writing or just having a conversation and listening to the thoughts that come to you. That is this direct communication that we all have access to. It's not a unique talent. We all can do it.
That's right. I always say anytime you're in the zone, I always refer to the Pixar movie, Soul, when he's playing the piano and he's in the zone. That's, or the, you know, you see the guy playing basketball, that's channeling. Everyone is channeled in their lifetime.
I have to comment on that movie because my husband now refers to it as, because I said, this is what I believe. And he now refers to it as the documentary Soul.
Right. And yeah. Think about the making of that movie. Not only the creators had to be in a vibrational match to that movie, but the people watching it have raised their vibration enough to have drawn that movie on and to receive it. You can sort of see the evolution of mankind through our art, right? So it's an interesting to see, oh, we are ready for that. We're moving into this transition. We are on the brink of enlightenment. This is coming. This is happening. We're not actually alone in this. There are more people coming to these teachings and this belief system than ever before. And now it's again, right in the mass marketing of Disney.
That's a really good point, because imagine that movie in 1980, when most of this country was fully Christian, you know, right, and involved in that, wouldn't want to think any other way. They'd be burning VH tapes of that.
It would have been a flop, right? Yeah. Or even more, like you said, there would have been protests. And now I'm constantly referring to that movie saying, when you're eating the pizza, I mean, I'll never have a slice of pizza the same way. Everything is neutral. And you'll hear channels talk about that. We give it meaning. We either give it positive meaning, negative meaning. It's just our beliefs. The pizza is neutral. If you think it's going to make you fat, it's going to make you fat. If you think it's going to do nothing to you, it'll do nothing to you. But if you can eat pizza as if you're eating it for the first time and just enjoying it and have that sort of enjoyment of it, who cares what it does, right? And that, I always think about him having that pizza. Well, it's not Joe Gardner, it's 22, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, this is the reason I wanted to come on to talk today, because the other night, maybe it was Monday night, I had this dream that you were in it, that Jackie was in the dream. And I told you what I'm going to tell now, and you started crying when I told it to you. And so I was telling you in the dream was, imagine that you have lived 100 lives. And so your first life, we'll just say, was 5,000 years ago or something, right? And so imagine the life that you would have lived as Jackie 5,000 years ago. You would be wanting freedom, wanting food to eat, right? Wanting proper shelter, wanting just these basic things. You were afraid of the dark, afraid of the gods, afraid of crops failing, all these things. And so that built the desire for the next life. In the next life, you're a little bit better off, but now you're wanting education, or wishing that a woman could go to school, or wanting to see what, you know, another land looked like, but you were trapped in whatever role society made for you. And so every one of these lives built on all these desires, all these longings for freedom and education and being able to travel, to culminate in this life as Jackie right now, right? And this life of all of you right now, which was the culmination of those 99 previous lives, of all those desires of that person who couldn't have the freedom and the abundance and the education and all that stuff. And now here we are, we have all the food we want to eat, amazing abundance. We can connect to anyone all over the world at any time where we are through Facebook or whatever. We know that people are what they're doing, and you know, we're connected to them that way, and that they're still alive. Imagine just in World War II, people didn't know that their children were dead until a year later when they finally came and told them about it, you know? So all this stuff, all this culmination happens in this life, and this is the life of the dreams of those past generations, right? And so if we see it from that perspective, then every single thing, running water is amazing, you know? Turning on a light or having air conditioning, it's crazy, or heat. I'm thinking of all those lives of freezing or sweltering or hunger, or, you know, all these longings for things that were not possible then are all possible now. And so that takes out the possibility of complaining about anything when you see it from that perspective. Yeah.
I have a tingling happening in my body so much that it started hurting. It almost literally feels like I'm being poked with needles as you were talking. It's crazy you're saying this too. I was just saying this on our last podcast about how rich we are and how we're carrying around an entire computer in our pockets. And yet, what do we have to complain about? We still don't see that we have enough. We have more than we ever need. We have exactly what we need to do this exploration as we're doing it. But it's such a, what you're saying, it creates such a feeling of peace and such a feeling of relief and just a feeling of gratitude for the present moment and in the not needing and the not lacking and the connections that we have and just life as it is in this moment. But yeah, the culmination of 100 years of effort and struggle and fear of needing to get warmth, needing to clothe your children, needing to do whatever it is that you needed to do. And some
medical
people still
care.
Medical care. But now you flip on a switch and the lights turn on.
Yeah.
You flip a switch and the fireplace turns on with a gas fire. You know, you could anything. It's insane what we have. And yet, of course, we can't even imagine what's coming down the pike.
Well, what's coming is now the stage is set for awakening. So all the fear created what we have now. And from this point, we can then say, okay, we have everything we need. What are we really going to be doing with our lives? And so from now on, we're going to be on our journey of self-discovery, allowing everyone else to be who they are, perceiving ourselves from the highest perspective possible, seeing ourselves as perfect. We're not flawed. We're not unworthy. We're perfect as we are. And then setting the stage for awakening to the truth of who we are. And then once we awaken, we'll understand who everyone else is as well. And then that's when our soul's purpose will come to us and we'll be involved in whatever it is that serves others. We're going from a history of self-preservation to a future of connection and service.
Right.
So we're right at the top of that.
And uniqueness, but equality.
Yes. Absolute equality, but absolute uniqueness. You do whatever you do, I do whatever I do, and we serve in our own way.
Now, here's my question, because I feel this awakening into the age of enlightenment as it's coming. And I feel as that it's an exponential kind of growth that's happening. You see it with technology and we're matching it. It's going to move quickly. I was even saying the next 5 to 15 years, I feel it. I feel as though we're going to look back now and not even believe how far we've come. But until we get to that place where we are communicating with our thoughts, where we are in my inner self is talking to your inner self, you're blended. I'm blended. We're all communicating with more ability than just words. How many more cycles of darkness into light, darkness into light? I feel like we're moving into a big light moment, but then, you know, cycles. How many eons does it take to get to that place that we're that utopia that we're talking about?
We'll only have to find out.
I'll see you there and we'll laugh about it. We'll say, wow, it took this much time. I feel
hopefully
like
it will happen before the next meteor.
Well, if it does, we'll just pick up in another universe on another sort of, I won't even say planet. There's infinite numbers of universes. Who's to say this is the universe? This is the one we created together here, but there's other ones. So I'll meet you over on one of those.
I want to ask that we're getting close on time and I've been dying to ask this question about dreams. And when you were just talking about Gary, obviously you had having this dream about Jackie, but then also you talking about channeling and the different, you know, inspiration, emotion, et cetera. There's someone on this podcast who has crazy wild dreams that are just absolutely insane that are guides. There's no way that it's just her inner self, right? Maybe you would say it is, I don't know, but I do have trouble still after years of meditating, of really finding the stillness. And when people come to you in dreams, when you are in your dream state, what is that from your perspective?
It's the non-physical. We return to the non-physical every day. So we die every night, right? And so then we have maybe some kind of communication. And then we download it before we wake up. And then it has to be reoriented into physical. So you don't have to take everything literally. It's just the feeling of what's happening there, you know? So I think a lot of when people that you know are in your dreams, that you're communicating with them and working with them. But when you wake up, and I do this now, I've been doing this for a while now, that I spend 5 minutes recalling my dreams before I think of anything else. And I know, and if I can just grasp onto one aspect of the dream, I can bring it all in. And in there is always some message. A lot of it is the emotion that you feel when you wake up. Is that a positive emotion of what was happening in that dream or a negative emotion? And it's just showing you that there's an empowering belief there or there's a limiting belief there. One thing that happened to me, I was very successful in the late 90s and early 2000s until the crash happened and I lost everything. The year before that happened, I had every single night a plane crash dream. And I'm in a plane and the plane crashes, but everyone's fine, right? Every single night. In some plane, in something, a small plane or a jet plane or some other plane, and we're going from LA to San Diego or something, and just a small little simple flight, and the plane is about to land and it doesn't land and it crashes, but everyone's fine. And so the message was that there's going to be this crash, but everyone's going to be fine, or I'll be fine, you know, in it. And that kept happening so often. Another dream I had my whole life, well, actually since I was about 28 years old, I had this dream where I was in this old Victorian house that was in need of lots of work. And I'm in this house all the time. And the house is in a nice neighborhood. And I really want to hold on to the house. And I want to buy the house and keep the house and all this stuff. And so I have this inspiration in 2018 to buy a big house somewhere that we can all have these Joshua retreats and have to have 5 bedrooms and be in a cute little town and be close to an airport. So I'm looking all over the South and I find this house in Newton, North Carolina. And it was, I was looking at was around 500 and this house was 112. So I bought the house from Florida without ever seeing it, full price cash, no contingencies. And so I never thought I would actually buy this house. I just thought I'd keep it under contract and maybe flip it or something. So I look at all these other houses, my friend Bruce, and we finally come to this house. And the house is like, you know, hadn't been lived in for a while, but was very solid. I walk up the front beautiful staircase through all the bedrooms upstairs, and there's a hallway down to the back. And then there's a back staircase that goes in the kitchen. When I get on the landing of that staircase, I know where I am. I'm in that house I had dreamed of all those times since I'm 20 years old. You know?
Pause for reaction. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so epic. Okay, this is crazy because what you just said, I'm going through something right now. When I go to sleep at night, the way I fall asleep is recall my dreams from the morning. When I started this work, I've always had night terrors and I had them when I started this work because as Gary, as you were saying, this work makes you even more sensitive. I actually asked you, Joshua, on a call once about my dreams because it was so horrific. I couldn't shake it. And Joshua, AKA your inner self and all your guides said, would you rather it happen in your dreams or would you rather it happen when you're awake? And I was like, my dreams. Thank you so much. And recently it's shifted where now I'm talking about this work. Now I feel myself doing this in my dreams. And I had a recurring dream and it was about a house. And it was that I always would find an extra room that I didn't know existed, a basement that was empty. I'm like, I didn't even know this was here. I put up walls and make a space. This is so exciting, where I would find just an attic or something. And I'm realizing as you're talking that that was from lack, or there was something to be discovered, that there was more. I stopped having that dream.
You have stopped seeking that extra room when you discovered you could channel.
Oh, snap.
That's the hidden room.
Snap. I knew I was like, why do I have to bring this up? Oh, you guys. So Gary, the first day I met him said, are you a channel? Which of course we all are. It was the first thing you said to me after we had a private with Joshua reading.
Yeah, but I don't say that to hardly anyone.
Well, this is what's crazy. I knew deep down the answer was yes. And you said you need to do a worthiness meditation and then just do writing. And I had not written a word. And it was the one thing I resisted. Even in the boot camp, I just resisted. And of course, once I start writing, I did not stop. The book came out of me, not out in the world yet, but I haven't stopped writing. And now here we are. But what's crazy is I recall that there was one time where our mutual friend Shoshana Bean really said I had to journal, because it was just before I attracted your teachings to me, but I was in that space. It was coming. I was in the low and creating desires. And I started, she said, just write everything that you need to get off your chest, like get it out, get all this out. And the second I started writing, it was like, I didn't hit caps lock because my eyes were closed, but I kept doing the shift letters and everything. And it was the same thing over, like this voice had been dying to get out. And it just kept saying, you are okay. You are okay. It's going to be okay. Da, 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 da. All these positive messages. I was like, no, I have to get out this anger that I'm having. I need to, but no. And it was just, and I realized in hindsight that that was the voice that was so excited to finally be speaking. Yeah. And I deleted it. Cause I was so resistant, but anyway, I just wanted to say, just take out that pencil, take out that computer, ask a question, see what comes. No one is a better guide, teacher, friend than you to yourself.
Yeah. The first step though is meditating. And now,
here's so you know you're aligned, right?
Here's the thing about meditating is that everyone thinks you're supposed to quiet your mind. That's crazy. All you're supposed to do is notice when you have like a resist, when your mind trails off and it's something you don't like, or when you're playing around with something you do like. As long as you're playing around with something you do like, that's what meditation is for, and noticing the difference between the two.
I love that.
Your inner self is trying to communicate to you, and here you are trying to quiet your mind. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. You just want to quiet, right. Just quiet the voice that's telling you what grocery list you need to do or that you forgot to turn off your alarm. That voice you can tell to shut the hell up. It's the other voice. And that was so freeing too. That is such good advice for all the listeners, that you let yourself play with the daydreams. I love talking about daydreams. Let yourself daydream. And the shower is a big one. See where your mind goes. Because when you're feeling good and you're in that daydream state, you're open, you have access to your inner voice. You're going to receive messages. You're going to want to act on the inspiration. Of course, as we talked about, the fear will pop up. Process that limiting belief. It's just a belief that I love Gary says is just without information. Push past the fear to act on the inspiration, one thing after another, watch how your life changes, unfolds, and you live in a more joyful, easier, less stressful place. You are ready. We are all ready. If you're listening to this, you're ready. Get started. Let's go. I just want to thank Gary so much for being here and thank everyone for joining this incredible conversation. Ah, I love you all. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, and we'll be here next time.
Yay. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we had such a good time with Gary, as we always do. What a treat. Thank you so much for tuning in. What a crazy hour of talking about everything from death to dreams and all the fun stuff in between. We look forward to seeing you next time. As always, I am Jackie, sending love.